Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
AP News, I'm Ben Thomas.
After the mass shootings in Colorado and Virginia this week, President Biden says he'll push Congress to enact more gun control measures. Correspondent Jackie Quinn.
Six people killed in a Southeast Virginia Walmart, five dead in Colorado Springs in just a week. And President Biden says more must be done to prevent these killings from taking place.
The idea we still allow semi-automatic weapons to be purchased is sick.
He tells reporters he'll take it to Congress, even though the session's almost over. Meanwhile, the president reached out to the owners of Club Q in Colorado Springs, offering support and condolences. While a worker at the Virginia Walmart, whose life was spared, says she doesn't think the victims were randomly chosen.
He was going hunting. He was picking people out.
Jesse Wilcheski, on the job just 5 days, says the gunman aimed at her and then told her to run. I'm Jackie Quinn.
In Ukraine, the latest Russian missile strikes are forcing people to fill water bottles from public spigots and rain spouts while repair teams work to reconnect power and water. Back in this country, Mike Hempen reports New York's Adult Survivors Act is temporarily lifting the state's usual deadlines for suing over sexual assault.
Sex crime victims who miss deadlines associated with statute of limitations now have a second chance to file a lawsuit. A window for such suits will open for 1 year, after which the usual time limits will be reinstated. At least hundreds of lawsuits are expected, including many filed by women who say they were assaulted by co-workers, prison guards, medical providers, or others.
Writer E. Jean Carroll, who accused former President Trump of rape, has filed an upgraded lawsuit against him. And new Twitter owner Elon Musk says he's granting amnesty for suspended accounts. This is AP News.
Looking for the perfect gift? Get him a shirt from Untuck It. Now you can get up to 50% off with the Black Friday sale happening right now at Untuck It. Untuck It shirts are designed to be worn untucked. They're the easiest way to keep them looking sharp and feeling comfortable. You can't go wrong with our super soft flannels and wrinkle-free shirts, so don't miss it. Up to 50% off for a limited time only. Find the perfect gift for every guy in your list at untuckit.com or 80+ Untuck It stores. Untuck It. Shirts designed to be worn untucked.
We tried Dynavite nutritional supplement, and after a couple of weeks, we noticed a big difference. Our little Gizmo's coat was shinier, and there was a lot less scratching and shedding.
My dog smelled and scratched constantly. We bathed and sprayed her, took her to the vet, but no results. Now, a little Dynavite in her food helps Bella keep her beautiful coat with no scratching or smell.
Happier, healthier with every bite. Over 1 million pets helped with Dynavite.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. Get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, and our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 AM 101 FM, The Shaw.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and whatever. Just don't text and drive. Visit stoptextsstoprex.org. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Here's today's STEM tip. Don't throw out that old plastic bottle. Repurpose it by turning it into an awesome terrarium. Just fill it with sand, pebbles, soil, and your favorite plant. It'll grow sealed right in its own ecosystem. Learn more at SheCanSTEM. A message from the Ad Council.
Four.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. State Senator Alberta Darling says she'll retire after 32 years in the Wisconsin legislature. Darling is a Republican from suburban Milwaukee. She says she'll step down a week from tomorrow. She served as co-chair of the powerful Joint Finance Committee longer than any other woman. Her retirement denies Republicans a supermajority in the upper house, at least until a special election is held to fill the seat. A man from Fond du Lac, police say, stabbed his girlfriend to death earlier this month, is charged with first-degree homicide. Gary Davis was in court yesterday. He's also charged with mayhem and hiding a corpse. His bail is set at $2 million. In sports, Badger men's basketball takes on Dayton this afternoon. The Bucks host Chicago tonight. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Native Roots Radio is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
350.org.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
It's a good day to be Indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, and he cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake all over Turtle Island here. We're on Civic Media, and we talk about, you know, Native issues, and Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. We're going to be doing a little something different today. We usually do Rock the Vote Native style, but it's going to be Native Roots Radio Presents the Year of the Dog, and we have John Proudstar on, and we are so excited to switch it up a little bit. Pinigigi for spending some time with us, John. And John, I would love to read your bio. And I'm going to do that, you know. You're a Native American, you're a veteran actor of 43 films, including this recent acclaimed performance in Leon's FX hit series, Reservation Dogs. We love that. We've had many people, many of the stars on Reservation Dogs on our show, and so we're blessed to have you on. And you're going to be in the final on Wednesday, September 28th. You know, you're also in this movie that we're going to be talking about, and I really want to get deep into the movie, but I can't help but first say, Pinigigi, mean thank you and welcome for being on our show, and I have to ask you a few things about Reservation Dogs before we get into your movie, The Year of the Dog. So, Pinigigi, John, for being on. I think you're muted, John.
Muted?
There you go.
Can
there you
hear
you
me?
Are. Yeah, you're loud and clear.
Okay, so thank you, and I'm honored to be here.
So, you know, one of the things I want to just say is that talk about Reservation Dogs real quick, and one of my favorite shows was with you and Willie Jack going hunting, and I'm kind of getting emotional thinking about that, but that's part of Reservation Dogs is the heart, the humor, the Native inside jokes. How was that shooting that episode last year? My goodness.
It was scary because so much depended on it. Disney was very worried about it because it changed the flow of the show. And it was just myself and Willie Jack. We had to hold the show ourselves. So a lot of people were concerned whether it was going to be good or not. And when we shot it, I mean, I knew it was going to be good because of the heart behind it and where the story came from. You know, one of the writers, it's a piece of their life, and they were there watching us do this, you know, story and kind of interpret their life. But it was amazing because getting to work with Paulina, you know, we had just met. So, you know, everyone was worried about chemistry and all that stuff, but we just, you know, we just clicked. And I'm a father. I'm a single dad. I have a daughter of my own, a son and a daughter. So it was easy for me being able to relate to that character. But Paulina, we didn't know. She was like a big unknown. But, man, she just knocked it out of the park.
She seems to be knocking it out of the park, period. In the second season, too, she is probably my favorite character. And I just got to give you information. Is I used to teach one of the writers on the show, and also know Dallas Goldtooth, but you know, I'm gonna have you guess who one of the writers is. He swears a lot, and we've had to mute him out a couple times on our show. I think you know who we're talking about.
That would be Bobby.
Yep, Bobby. We love Bobby. And then the show he just wrote the last one. Wow. Yeah, we could go on and on about Reservation Dogs, but I want to talk about you and how you prepare for a role. I mean, this is, you know, I think your part in Reservation Dogs, for instance, is so low key, and it's so reminds me of many elders I know that don't say much, but when they do, it hits you in the forehead.
Preparing for Leon, you know, it was, I mean, the difficult part for me was toning it down, because I'm not like that. I'm really loud and I'm always joking and so on and so forth. So Sterling was always bringing me down, you know, like I would do a scene a certain way and he's like, you know, smaller, make it smaller, not so big. You know, so Sterling was always there to help me play this character. And when I finally got it, I'm like, okay, you know, I know who he is now. You know, and so most of my emotions was going to come from subtext, from my face. You know, you had to see what he was thinking. He's kind of your tour guide for what's going on. And you have to see it in his face because he's not going to say it out loud.
Wow. Yeah. And it really came off. And the chemistry was definitely there. It's really exciting, and yet, you know, I'm 61 years old, and it's kind of emotional and hard for me to talk about you and your career and Reservation Dogs, because you know, as we talked a little bit earlier, we're both former high school teachers, and I had an all native homeroom, and I always thank the lieutenant governor here in Minnesota for being who she is, and our other politicians and leaders for being someone that our students and our kids can look at, that look like them, that are doing great things. So, John, before I start crying and Ogma taking over the interview, I want to just say that too.
Oh, you're so welcome. Yeah, I mean, I get it. It's huge. These are things we didn't have as kids. You know, these images, the only thing we had was Jay Silverhills in Lone Ranger and Tonto, and, you know, Will Sampson, you know, whenever he would come out in a movie, and that's about it right there.
Right. And then just back up a little bit too, in 95, 96, I think Smoke Signals for me still holds up. And we have a Smoke Signals veteran on the show, Reservation Dogs, with you too.
Oh.
With Gary Farmer.
Oh, Gary. Yeah, my man. Yeah. It was so cool to meet Gary, to really like hang out with him. And he's such a nice guy. He's funny. He's very, very funny.
And he's a great musician too. I just saw him up jamming up north here with a lot of people, and met a couple other Reservation Dogs people. But so you've been acting, you've been in 43 films. Tell me about that journey. When did you start that?
Oh, my God, 1989. I was sneaking on to movies here in Tucson, just, you know, sneaking on, becoming an extra or grabbing a walkie-talkie and slowly, you know, melting into the crew. But it was something I'd always wanted to do. I was fascinated by movies, and, you know, I had to learn somehow. So I just said, I'm going to sneak on, and I'll work any job I can do. I don't care what it is. You know, I'll shovel horse manure. I'll you know, stand guard at a post where nobody comes. doesn't matter as long as I was going to learn something. But yeah, it started way back in 1989.
Yeah. And is that some advice? And I think that's good advice. If that's your advice to somebody that wants to get involved in films, is be there available. And I know I've had former students that are musicians, and one of them's been all over the world as a drummer, and he's not the greatest drummer, but he's there. He's consistent. He's on time. All those things that
that means a lot.
So tell us a little bit about that journey with you.
You know, I knew that my ability was always going to be able to be questioned, but the one thing they could never question was my enthusiasm. Because I knew that I had great enthusiasm. I was there. I was ready to work. I would do anything. You could throw anything at me, and I was ready to go. Was I the best? Probably not. Were there better? Sure. Are there better? Yeah. But I show up to play, and, you know, I'm devoted to my craft and whatever it takes to get it done.
Right on. Hey, can you stay with us for another segment? This is Native Roots Radio presents the Year of the Dog, and we're here with John Proudstar, and we'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Health insurance that fits my budget? I'm covered. I needed health coverage I could count on and afford. MinSure helped me find a plan that works for me, and they helped me save money. Did you know that most Minnesotans qualify for savings through MinSure? And they have free experts who can help you sign up for coverage. Go to MinSure.org today and get started and get covered. That's MNSure.org. MNSure.org.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Native Roots Radio, and we're presenting the Year of the Dog. We're doing a little different today, and we're going to be doing Rock the Vote Native Style this week. Later on this week, I should say. And we're with John Proudstar, and we were talking a little bit about reservation dogs, and I want to little switch gears and talk about this movie that's coming up, The Year of the Dog. And tell us the whole process. Your agent got you to, you know, try out for this movie, and you read the script. What's the process? And tell us a little bit about that, and we'll get into the movie, too.
I'm really careful about what I do, because there's a lot of stuff out there that, you know, takes advantage of Native actors, and they're still using us in the same way. They just color it differently. And when you see the final product, you're kind of like, oh my God, we call them leather and feather films, and they're just using us like furniture or decoration, you know. It's not really anything that I think advances our people. So when I see something that has heart or humanity or shows us in a good light or a different light that we've never been shown, and especially a contemporary, I'm very attracted to that, you know. And if I can be an example, you know, especially to Native dads or grandfathers or Native males in general, if there's something in there about the script and the story that has that kind of value, I really, you know, that's what really interests me about a project.
Tell us a little bit about the story, if you would. I know we have, you want to tell some, but you don't want to give everything away. But I think it's, you know, I want to be careful because I did look at it and I don't want to start blabbing about it.
Well, what I like about stories like this one, it's about imperfect people. And I'm trying not to give out too much away, but right. You know, the guy is struggling. The lead character right. is struggling, and he runs into other individuals that have gone through that and have put their lives back together and know the process of putting your life back together and what it actually takes, the commitment. And they're catching him on all his BS because he's doing everything from the hand, you know, the addict's handbook mm-hmm. of not taking responsibility. So, you know, he's got these kind of guardian angels looking over him, you know, slowly nudging him towards that eventuality of what he has to do and what he has to face up to. And in life, you know, that's hard. That's hard to do it by yourself, alone, you know. And if you're lucky enough to have these people, these mentors show up in your life. And the story is, you know, about redemption. And it's this tale about this guy who finds this dog. And, you know, the dog is amazing. He's a well-trained dog. And it's always fun working with animals.
I was going to say, there's a couple rules. Don't work with children. So you already checked that off with reservation dogs. And don't work with animals. And you're done both. So there's got to be a skill and a patience with that. Not worried about getting the scene stealed? Stolen.
Yeah, try working with a turkey. You know, when we did reservation dogs and had that turkey on set, oh my god.
Yeah. Right. So the dog is a healing portion of this, and I know for our nation and up here in the woodlands of the Midwest here, we have chiefs named after dogs and they're sacred. And so how did that fit with you and your approach to your part?
Well, I mean, I had raised dogs all my life, so I understood that part of it. And, you know, children and pets, you know, they require full attention when you're around them. And if they don't get it, they're going to bother you. They're going to push for that. Like, hey, look at me. Pay attention to me. So that was, you know, that's definitely a part of that healing process, is you have to be present. You have to be in that moment. And if you're not, trust me, kids and pets will let you know. I've got grandchildren. If I'm not 100% focused, or if I look at my phone and my granddaughter's like, you know, get off your cell phone. that was a part of it that I really liked.
Well, Ogma, do you have a question for John at all? I know Ogma's here biting at the chomping at the bit here. Go ahead, Ogma.
You know, you kind of asked a lot of the questions that I was going to ask, but, you know, I'm a little bit curious about your history, John. How did you come into acting?
Like I said, it was something I'd always dreamt of doing ever since my grandmother told me that it was actually a job, you know, because when I was a little kid watching TV, I thought it was real. And she had to explain to me that, no, that's a job. Like, you know, when your parents go to work or when you go outside to play, that's what they're doing. And I was like, going outside to play all day? I want to be a part of that. but I wasn't very good in the beginning. You know, I wasn't very well trained. And I thought I would just walk into Hollywood and, you know, take it by storm. And that wasn't the case. I went there and just flopped my first audition for an agent. And it took them about 35, 40 minutes, these four female agents, to tell me just how bad I was. And, you know, they walked me out of the office and I was like, I was toast, man. And she told me, this is going to make you or break you. And I took it serious and I started reading. I took classes. I became a student. and started getting into the craft.
So what advice would you have for anybody, a native, young native person looking to break into that the same way that you did?
You have to study, and you're always going to have excuses. I don't have enough money. I'm not in Hollywood. There's no acting teachers here in Tucson or wherever you live. But there's YouTube. I mean, before I had acting teachers, I would just copy scenes from movies and then do it the way that I thought I would do if I was cast in that role. Excuses are always plentiful. So don't get mired. Don't get caught up in your excuses. Everyone's got excuses. Some people have it worse than you do. Some people have it better than you do. But at the end of the day, it's either going to be you or somebody else that gets that role. And to be a part of that, you have to show up. And when you show up, it's not just showing up. It's having the ability in the moment when you do show up and they call your number. You got to show them what you've been doing, what you've been working on.
Yeah, and we talked a little bit, too, on how important it is to be on time. And I think there's an old adage, at least. I'm in recovery, too, so this story really kind of hits home with me. I've been sober for 37 years, and there's a term to suit up and show up. And I think that's what you've been doing, John, for, well, 40-some films, for sure. And prior to that, to get your name out there as you know, someone that they can depend on, not only be a good actor, but depend on.
No, I got yelled at once by a casting director because I showed up late. It was on a movie called Young Guns 2. And I showed up late, and there was an accident along the way into the studio where we were filming. And that was my excuse. And when I told him, I thought, okay, I'm in the clear. And no, he really yelled at me and just told me, he goes, I want to tell you something somebody told me a long time ago. Excuses don't make movies. And if you were here an hour earlier, you would have missed that accident. And, you know, he was right. There was nothing I could say. I was like, man, this guy got me. Mm-hmm. So from that time forward, I was on time. I was an hour early, 2 hours early. I was there before everyone else.
Yeah. Wow. That's some really good advice for anyone, and especially our young ones, because I don't appreciate the term Indian time. I think it's, I don't like that term. Let's just say that it's fun and funny, but when it comes to things like this, your job and things like that and showing up, there's no Indian time. You need to show up to colonizer time or whatever, but you got to be there on time.
You know, I think it'd be good to take back that term, though, you know, make Indian time, meaning you're the first one to be there. You're the first one to show up and you work harder. Like that would be, we could take back Indian time that way. I like the idea of that.
Oh, my. Yeah, I like that.
We could make t-shirts and have your face on that and and to give you a license fee. You know how I'm always thinking.
Yes, just yeah, that would be really modest, right? Or what is that? You know, the other question that I have too would be like, what role did you play or what film or role did you do that you really felt like you were like coming into it? Like you've done 43 movies. So like, which one did you finally feel like, I think I'm getting this. Yeah. How many movies in was that?
It had to be Dude Vision, a movie, a short film that I did. I directed myself. I wrote it and I shot it here in Tucson with the help of many, many talented people here in Tucson. But it was a comedy and it was a short comedy. And I was just in heaven because I worship actors like John Ritter and Peter Sellers and Gene Wilder. And I'd always wanted to be funny, and Hollywood, for some reason, doesn't want natives to be funny. So here I was, I got to be funny, and I really felt that, okay, I'm doing something here. I'm making people laugh, and there's no other feeling in the world having people watch your stuff and laugh at your comedy, you know? And that was probably one of my proudest moments.
John, we haven't talked enough about the movie. Can you come back on for we got a hard break here in 50 seconds. Yeah. Come back and talk about the movie and where people can see it. I really appreciate it. You're making my job really easy here being on these three segments, so I really, really appreciate it. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we're talking to John Proudstar, in the movie The Year of the Dog and a little reservation dogs thrown in there. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com.
Coronavirus update. I'm Ben Thomas with an AP News Minute. U.S. financial markets were closed for Thanksgiving, but uncertainty over coronavirus restrictions in China affected global shares today. Shares rose in all major markets except Shanghai. Pandemic lockdowns have been expanding across China, where the number of new cases reported have hit their highest level since COVID-19 was first detected in 2019. Meantime, Karen Shamus reports the company that assembles Apple iPhones has apologized for a pay dispute at its factory in Shenzhou.
Employees complained that Foxconn Technology Group changed the terms of their wages that were initially offered to attract them to the factory. The company blamed the change in wages on a computer error and said they would be paid what they were promised. The apology comes days after a protest erupted at the factory. Videos on social media showed police in white protective suits kicking and clubbing workers during the protest. I'm Karen Chamas.
Thank you, Karen. And I'm Ben Thomas.
Looking for the perfect gift? Get him a shirt from Untuck It. Now you can get up to 50% off with the Black Friday sale happening right now at Untuck It. Untuck It shirts are designed to be worn untucked. They're the easiest way to keep them looking sharp and feeling comfortable. You can't go wrong with our super soft flannels and wrinkle-free shirts, so don't miss it. Up to 50% off for a limited time only. Find the perfect gift for every guy in your list at untuckit.com or 80-plus Untuck It stores. Untuck It. Shirts designed to be worn untucked.
We tried Dynavite Nutritional Supplement, and after a couple of weeks, we noticed a big difference. Our little Gizmo's coat was shinier, and there was a lot less scratching and shedding.
My dog smelled and scratched constantly. We bathed and sprayed her, took her to the vet, but no results. Now, a little Dynavite in her food helps Bella keep her beautiful coat with no scratching or smell.
Happier, healthier with every bite. Over a million pets helped with Dynavite.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which right. Was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
I asked what kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Mantbear with your headlines. Wisconsin's Republican leaders say they're speaking to Governor Tony Evers again after a two-year stalemate. With the unprecedented budget surplus, both sides hoping to find some common ground where they can negotiate. Representatives from the governor's office say his door has been open for communication. There is a date set for the governor to meet with Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemahue, both sides stating a desire to cut taxes and invest in K-12 education. The governor out with a plan in October, which included a 10% tax cut for people making less than $100,000. GOP leaders say they want to lower tax rates, focusing on lowering the top tax rate for people making more than $280,000. Voss says he's willing to support funding for public schools only if it includes an expansion of Wisconsin's private school choice program. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, we're doing Native Roots Radio Presents The Year of the Dog, and we're talking to John Proudstar, actor of over 40 films, and you probably know him from Willie Jack's Father on Reservation Dogs. Let's get to right now, if you don't mind, John, how people can see this movie and tell us a little bit more about that, if you would.
Well, they're currently in festival route right now, so it's going to be there for a little bit, for a couple of months, and then after that, they'll probably start seeking distribution. I'm not quite sure what distribution entities they're talking to at this point, so it's just kind of a waiting game.
Well, and it's important, too, like Ogama has up here, there's social media. If you want to give a shout-out, Ogama, where everyone can lock in on the movie and find out more about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you're interested in seeing this upcoming film, The Year of the Dog, starring John Proudstar as the character Greg, you can go to their website directly. It's theyearofthedogmovie.com, or you can follow them on Instagram and Facebook at The Year of the Dog Movie, or follow them on Twitter at Year of Dog Movie. So all over social media, all over online, you can follow what's happening, where they're at in route for festivals, and then be the first one to, you know, get a peek at it when it goes onto distribution. I believe, and if I'm not mistaken, they're looking to go through an Independent Spirit Award. Is that right? Is that what I understand?
Yeah, Michael Spears and myself are being recommended for Independent Spirit Award nomination. So that kind of blew my mind when they called and told me that. I was like, that was pretty neat.
Yeah, I feel like, and you can correct me if, John, because you're on such a different track than per se me, but I feel like a lot of things have happened in a good way since Standing Rock. And, we have these TV shows. We had Rutherford Falls. We had many people on with Rutherford Falls. And a lot of people worked on both Reservation Dogs and Rutherford Falls at the same time. You know, we had Dark Winds. We have the loss of that Washington football team. Just a lot of... A lot of things have changed since Standing Rock. What's your feeling on that?
Well, I think everything's finally come to roost. We're a great country, and we push out a great message. But it's this younger generation that's holding it to account, saying, are we really what we report to be? Are we really doing the things that we tell the rest of the world that we report to do? And when you look inward, we're not completely. So that's not completely 100% honest until we're doing that for the indigenous population of this country. There's a lot of things that happen to us, obviously. There's a lot of things currently happening to us that is not right, and it needs to be corrected. And until that can be corrected, we can't go out to the rest of the world and point a finger at them saying, oh, look at what you're doing to those people, because we're not taking care of our own. So I think that's a huge part of it.
Wow, that's great. And, you know, I'm 61, so when I was a junior in high school, we were able to pray in our own way as Native Americans. So just to put that in perspective with all our white allies that are listening to this show across Turtle Island, we're all over the country here, and just to, you know, to be proud of who we are. And then this current generation, John, really is progressive. They don't see, they think love is love. It's been just for me, and I think you were touching a little bit on that, just refreshing to see what's coming behind us in the next generation.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's a journey, you know, because it's so new to us older people. We're trying to get a grasp on it because it is such a foreign concept to us, the new way of thinking. But that goes back to our old ways. You know, we never chastised homosexuality within the tribes. That was never looked down upon. And somewhere along the line, that changed. So it's refreshing to see that old way come back. That's a part of who we were. We were very accepting of the two spirits. So, you know, when I see things like that, it gives me hope.
Yeah, definitely. We talk about when we were being colonized here many times on the show that our two spirit relatives were the first, along with medicine men, to be murdered by the colonizers. And,
and
that isn't how we think. So it's great that our young ones know this and don't see this. And that, like you said, we are relearning this too.
Yeah, no, it's so important. And coming from education, and I worked with survivors of child molestation for over 34 years of my life, and I'm currently developing a comic book called Tribal Force. It's the first all-Native superhero comic book in the history of the United States. We were inducted into the Smithsonian Institute for being the first one. But those are the things that I'm hoping to include in the comic book, you know, these little lessons of the way that our people used to be. And, you know, hopefully it'll catch. Hopefully it'll stick in the brain.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And, I guess part of me being Native is the young ones coming behind us and that they're learning the language. They're grasping things that we didn't have the opportunity to. You know, we lost a couple generations, John, with boarding schools and not being cool. You know, when we one of my regular guests, we kind of laugh all the time, is that in 1978, we found out who was really Native and not Italian or Mexican or whatever. Because it's like, wow, hey, you're Native too. What the heck? But that's a circle back on the movie. And I know your time's really valuable, and I want to let you go and be respectful for that. But I've been totally enjoying hanging out with you, and this is kind of how the show goes, is a kind of a laid-back kind of couch conversation. And I've been really happy to have you on for many reasons, but let's talk a little bit about the movie and where it's coming out, and then Ogma, you can give the websites again if you don't mind.
Well, currently I'm not aware of where it's going to be. I don't know what festivals that they've entered, but I got to see it and I was blown away. The performances in there are amazing. You know, Michael Spears does such a great job. Rob Grippo, who plays the lead character, just amazing. Like, he draws you in. He's a very unusual guy, very unusual character. And from the get-go, you know, he catches you, and you're just drawn in following this guy down this path, this destructive path that he's living. And, you know, it shows you why he's doing what he's doing. And you can see that he's in a lot of pain, and you're hoping that these characters, you know, Michael's character and my character, when we come into his life, we slowly have an effect on him. It's difficult to talk about because I don't want to give too much away.
Right.
It's so good that, you know, you don't want any spoilers or anything like that. But it's heartwarming. It's hard at some point, you know, because some of the subject matter is difficult. But it's inspiring, if anything.
Wow. And, you know, Ogma, let everybody know how to stay current on what's going on with the Year of the Dog, and I just appreciate so much John Proudstar for you being on our show today.
Oh, thank you. No, it was great talking to you guys.
Yes. So for those of you listening who are interested in following the Year of the Dog, they're going to be going through the festival circuit starting in October and hopefully be released nationwide this winter. You can find out more at theyearofthedogmovie.com, or you can follow the Year of the Dog on Facebook and Twitter. And then on Instagram, it's Year of Dog Movie on Instagram. And I just want to uplift too, Mr. Proudstar had four other big releases in 2021: The Heart Stays, Wastelander, Deep Woods, and Mammoth. So make sure you're checking around to find out where you can stream or rent or watch all of those, and give lots of support to our relatives who are out doing this work, doing this acting, and bringing our respectful roles to the Native community. It's an important job that you're doing, John and McGwich. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And it's always important, John and Ogama, to have a real Native play a Native. So kudos to everybody that hires you, too. I think that has to be said, too, John.
Yeah, it's the time has come. You know, man, we've waited a long time. So glad I made it to this point. Because, you know, after a while, you're like, I thought, I'm 55. So I was like, well, I guess it's not going to happen. And then yeah. Reservation Dog shows up.
Yeah. Well, again, thank you so much for being on, and thank you so much for your time. It means a lot to us, and I know we've had a lot of comments here on YouTube and Facebook that are really excited that you were on our show and spent some time with us. Again, Peeny Geegee for being on. The Year of the Dog, we're with John Proudstar. Peeny Geegee again, John.
All right, thank you.
All right. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. And up next, we're going to talk a little news with Ogama. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hi, this is Robert Pilot here telling you about Minnesota Native American art. Did you know that Twin Cities is known for Native art? Well, if you're not familiar, then check out All My Relations Arts. It's a program that seeks to increase the visibility and value of these incredibly talented American Indian artists in all forms of art while honoring the history and the presence of indigenous cultures. And right now, All My Relations Arts is showcasing Rosie Seamus Dance, She Who Lives on the Road to War. This is an immersive installation dance performance created by Rosie Seamus in response to global loss and the collective need to come together in peace and reconciliation. She Who Lives on the Road to War is a place for visitors to rest, grieve, console, and meditate. Performances will take place through mid-December. Find the performance schedule at allmyrelationsarts.com. I love all the indigenous art here in the Twin Cities, and I hope you can enjoy it too. allmyrelationsarts.com.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, this portion is brought to you by Howling for Wolves.
Protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh. Hey, you were howling alone yesterday, so
I was just gonna say, anybody who tuned in yesterday, I had to howl alone yesterday. I think it was the loneliest wolf howl I've ever heard. So that was that was the thing that happened yesterday. Buju Anin, everybody, I'm Ogama Ganuakwe, and I have some news for you here on Native Roots Radio. I want to kind of start close to home today. By close to home, I mean close to here in Minnesota, and also close to my heart, because I am currently an Indigenous mother who is nursing or breastfeeding a child. So if you are nearby, you can go to Bemidji, Minnesota on September 27th, 2022 for the Indigenous Breastfeeding Coalition of Minnesota in-person gathering. They're going to be talking about the mission and goals and learn about the new First Food Toolkit. and see educational activities that you can do in your community. Lunch and breakfast are going to be provided at this event. Again, that's in Bemidji, Minnesota. September 27th is the Indigenous Breastfeeding Coalition of Minnesota's in-person gathering from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. RSVP if you can by the 16th, which is this week. If you need information, email to Kayla Lightfield at tlightfield@diw-mn.org, and they can give you some more information. Really exciting event, and I know that this coalition has done a lot to put up safe places for mothers like myself to nurse at powwows and other events. They offer a lot of support and help for mothers who are really wanting to give their child that best first medicine, that first food, which is mom's milk. So that is an important event that's happening locally. And then I also want to follow up on a bit of a thing that happened, I guess, in 2021, I believe, during the actions to slow and stop Line 3, the Hubbard County Sheriff in Minnesota unlawfully blockaded access to a camp that was serving as a convergence space and home for an Indigenous-led organizing, decolonization, and treaty rights trainings, as well as religious activities. Water protectors were seeking to defend the untouched wetlands and treaty territory of Anishinaabe people here in Minnesota, and activists attempting to access that property were harassed and blockaded from entering by the Hubbard County Police, issued unlawful citations for driving upon the property's driveway, and threatened with arrest for coming to and from the camp. I believe that those Hubbard County Police also refused to let Indigenous activists to leave the property as well. The sheriff's departments in that region had received funds from the Enbridge Pipeline Corporation for their time spent acting against the pipeline's opponents, which was known as the Public Safety Escrow Fund. Enbridge has paid more than $8 million to reimburse law enforcement in Minnesota. Basically, this privatized Minnesota's public police forces to service efforts to repress opposition to the Line 3 pipeline. Many water protectors were hurt or traumatized during the actions to try to delay or stop Line 3 and to protect water and Anishinaabe territory here in Minnesota. So that's just a little bit of history here. The Center for Protest Law and Litigation actually had a victory just this week. A Minnesota court issued that a ruling protects the Indigenous-led camp of Line 3 opponents from Hubbard County's unlawful blockades and targeted harassment. So it was ruled that they were unlawful in blockading and targeting those water protectors as oppressive police tactics. The ruling has come after months of litigation on behalf of water protectors, including Tara Hauska and Winona LaDuke, and finally a successful temporary restraining order against the Hubbard County Sheriff Corey Ox and the local land commissioner in northern Minnesota. So that was blocking access to GNU Collective's Line 3 camp in Namaywag in 2021. So we're glad to see that that has come up and been ruled against as unlawful as it was. Also in Minnesota, Saturday, September 17th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. is the ICHO, the American Indian Community Housing Organization up in Duluth. It is their 7th annual food and art market, again, Saturday, September 17th in Duluth. They will be there from 11 to 2 p.m. at Central Hillside Community Center parking lot at 12 East 4th Street in Duluth. And there will be 21 local Indigenous and BIPOC entrepreneurs who will be selling garden-grown produce, frozen farm-raised meats, wild rice, jewelry, beadwork, fine arts, pretty much anything you could ask for, all Native-made happening at this event up in Duluth. Over in North Dakota, I just want to uplift what's happening at the MHA Nation. The MHA Nation Chairman Fox has had to once again condemn North Dakota's efforts to assert title of the Missouri Riverbed. So the Mandan, Hidatsa, and Arikara Nation, also known as the MHA Nation or three affiliated tribes, had to again strongly condemn a recent effort by the state of North Dakota to undermine their lawful rights. In a letter on August 24, 2022, a letter to an energy company was written by North Dakota Solicitor General Matthew Sagsveen, and it asserted that North Dakota owns the Missouri Riverbed inside the boundaries of the Fort Berthold Reservation where the MHA Nation resides, and that is actually contrary to legal and historical record. Chairman Fox issued a statement that the Missouri River and the minerals below it on the Fort Berthold Reservation are the rightful property of the MHA Nation, and the state of North Dakota continues to show their lack of respect for the legal precedences and the people who have paid with their lives to preserve these fragments of our ancestral lands and waters, and that they reject the attempt to undermine those lawful rights of the MHA Nation, which is really important that our all of our tribal people who have a say to stand up to those powers that be continue to do so. I also want to uplift a relative named Noelle Lynn Smith. Noelle has been selected to participate in a new graduate partnership between Arizona State University's Walter Cronkite School of Journalism and Mass Communication and the Native American Journalists Association and ICT, which was formerly Indian Country Today. So she has been granted a fellowship that will provide support for Noelle to complete a Cronkite master's degree while producing journalism with colleagues at ICT. So that is wonderful. Smith is a Diné journalist, and she will pursue a master's of arts in investigative journalism. So congratulations, Noelle Lynn Smith, for your Cronkite ICT fellowship and being the first student to do that.
Want to put a little applause in there. Okay.
Oh, applause. Okay. Like, I'm hearing sounds. What are those sounds? In national news, the National Congress of American Indians has named former tribal chairman of the Ponca Tribe of Nebraska, Mr. Larry Wright Jr., as its new executive director. He's going to manage day-to-day operations of the organization and create a pathway for long-term success for NCAI and the NCAI fund. So that is very exciting that they will have a new director. That's National Congress of American Indians does a lot of really great work. And if you're not getting their newsletter, it's a really great thing to sign up for if you are looking to keep up to date with some of the things that are happening in Indian country. And then over in Billings, Montana, sad news for a tribe over there. There was a federal judge on Friday that has ordered the Biden administration to reinstate a drilling lease on land near the Blackfeet Indian Reservation. The land is considered sacred in the U.S. and Canada, and there's a 10-square-mile oil and gas lease in the Badger Two Medicine area of northwestern Montana that was issued in 1982, and it had been previously canceled in 2016 at the request of the tribes and conservation groups for that area. But unfortunately, oil and gas lease has been reinstated despite efforts to declare the area a national monument or make it a cultural heritage area. Most of the tribal people in the area, it appears, are opposed to that. And unfortunately, that is back in place. So really, really sad to see those kinds of things are happening here in Indian country with oil and gas once again. Right, Robert?
Yeah, definitely. Hey, we're wrapping it up here. Pini Gigi Ogama, for everything you do in the news. You know, I just got to give a quick shout out to there's still on the way free Leonard Peltier. It was his birthday yesterday, and they're still marching, and we're going to get an update this week. If you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenticoops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest. Join a group and run for office. Pini Gigi to our guest today, John. You know, and it was a great show, and I really appreciate John stopping in. John Proudstar. We'll be back tomorrow.
Hello, AM 950 listener. I know you. You take the news seriously. When you read the headlines these days, it makes you want to hang your head down and cry. Well, to hell with that. What you need is a laugh from the left. So do yourself a favor. Listen.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Telling my girls about my Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard.
But Mom's early detection gave us time to make a plan.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.